Great. Well, thank you so much for coming out this morning. I appreciate Saturday morning, Sarah. A precious time, and it's great to be able to get a few guys together, and thanks for coming. It's a special blessing to be able to use this room here for this kind of meeting as well. When we when Jo, my wife, and I took on this place last summer, and it was a derelict site, and we really had a strong sense that God was calling us to really dedicate the site itself for the kingdom of God. And for this room, which we didn't even know about when we bought the place at auction, it was all just a boarded up barn, to be able to use this to bring people together for the glory of God in different kinds of ways. And we are able to host prayer meetings in here, teaching sessions, you know, whatever else. But it's a good multifunction chapel come meeting room, really. So God already put the panelled walls in here before we got here, so it was quite nice for that, gives it a kind of cosy feel. And we put the log burner in a few weeks back, my dad and I, so now we've got it just right. So thanks for being here. Really, what I want to do is, I want to kick off actually by just praying and just praying, really. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to meet together in your name, in your presence, Lord, and thank you that you're here among us. And I pray that as we share and share heart and vision with each other, Lord, you would direct us and lead us and guide us, Lord, and we would see your will done, your kingdom established in this among us. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. I want to share with you a little bit about my sort of journey in, I guess, the kind of church and the workplace and the marketplace in business. Some of you have known me for quite a long time since I first came into Maidstone. Some of you have known me in business for a long time. Jonathan worked with me 15 years ago, just about. 14 years ago? Late 1990s, Jonathan. It was a long time ago.
1999, I came back from Turkey.
Okay, yeah, so, all right. Okay, it was a while back, yeah. Jo, that's my wife, and I, we set up a business in the late 1990s, and we really knew that, you know, Jesus had to be the head of this business. And over the last, really, 14, 15 years, has been a journey of really seeking God about and discovering and allowing God to speak to us about what does that really mean for a Christian to run a business and to be in a workplace, marketplace setting, with Jesus at the head of it, you know. And we started off with an idea of what that meant. You know, we want to be led by God. We want to serve his purposes for us through the business. And over the years, I think God started revealing to us little by little, by his grace, some of what that really meant. And we went through a process a number of years into the business where we really hit some very challenging times financially. In the first few years of the business, things grew and grew, and it was great. And we had a vision that, okay, we want to be able to give financially from the business into the kingdom of God. And that was a way of, in a sense, it felt like that was the partnership between us and God. You know, God plays a role in the business, helps the business succeed. We give back out into the kingdom. It's a kind of really simple model, if you like, of that feels like the right way to go about it. And then we hit this wall suddenly with the business where there was no more cash in the business. And we started accumulating what I would still think of as a pretty massive amount of debt. That kind of forced us onto our knees before God, kind of saying, the plan's not working how we thought it would, Lord. You know, it's obviously time to give this thing up. And it's obviously not something that you had in mind for us to do. And God spoke to us over quite a while of seeking him really clearly to show us that the vision I had, if you like, of how God's role in the business and how we would, the partnership, if you like, between us and God in running the business, was we were only scratching the surface of the big picture of what God really had for us through business and through being involved in what I would call the marketplace, the workplace. And God showed us that, you know, one of the big messages that came out was that, you know, it's not just about the money. It's not just about you go and make a profit and you give it back into the kingdom and so on. And that's a component, if you like. But actually, there was so much more God wanted to do through us in business and through the marketplace. And I remember one particular time, through what I was doing in a business locally, I was involved in the Chamber of Commerce and I'd been involved in local sort of economic development groups and various other input into the council, into the local council, just because I was in business locally and I'd been networking and making some connections and it just felt like the right thing to be doing. And I hadn't really grasped the full extent to which that was part of God's plan for the business and for my role. I remember one time I was over at Leeds Castle. There was an event where they were bringing in some input into planning Maidstone's future in terms of housing development and a whole load of different economic and strategic things about planning Maidstone's future. And it was run by the then chief executive of the council, Maidstone Borough Council, a guy called David Petford, and the elected leader of the council, and they had a whole lot of other stakeholders together, and they had some external experts coming in, and I was going along there as part of the Chamber of Commerce and a local member of the business community. And on the same day, Joe was over at the council offices because we'd had a letter, we hadn't been able to pay our council tax, and we were due in court the next day if we didn't settle, and Joe had gone over to the council offices to try and negotiate with them and come up with a settlement for, you know, how we could kind of get through that. And, you know, we were in a tough place, I suppose, you know, and that's where we were. So on the one hand, I was meeting with the leader of the council and the CEO of the council to help them to plan Maidstone's future. And on the other hand, they'd just written to me saying, we're going to take you to court tomorrow if you don't pay your council tax. And I remember, you know, the kind of irony of the situation that, you know, I was walking across the croquet lawn at the middle of Leeds Castle, and I saw that the CEO and the leader of the council, and they saw me coming, and they were so warm and welcoming. They were like, oh, Dan, we're so pleased that you can input into us. You know, we're so pleased to have some of your time. You know, you're such a friend to us. And, you know, this whole thing about how important it was to have that relationship and how useful they found my input. And little by little, through a number of kind of processes, God showed me that the way he was going to use us in the workplace, in the marketplace, and through business was in all kinds of other ways, through relationship with town leaders and beyond. And I started to see that God could allow us to touch systems around us with the kingdom of God, to bring in, if you like, some of God's thinking into the way that decisions are made and so on. And along the way, also, we started getting together about 10 years ago, 9 or 10 years ago. I set up a thing called Business for Christ, which was a way of a mechanism for bringing together Christians in business. And because I felt like, actually, there's some stuff we can share here. And as God was revealing to us aspects of what it means for the church, for Christians to be called into or to walk out their day-to-day role in business kind of roles, this was something we could share with other people, actually, and stand in faith together. And we ended up with this thing, Business for Christ, with people coming in from all sorts of different church congregations and meeting together under the banner of Business for Christ. And we go out and visit. So Ian, we went, in fact, just a couple of months back, we went over to Ian's business over in Strood. And guys from all different church congregations would come there, meet there. You know, we'll pray over that business. We'll catch the heart of what Ian's doing and seeing that Ian, you know, he runs a storage company. So he's actually meeting with people often at a time of distress and change in their lives, a time of turmoil in their lives, because they're having to move things out of a home and put them into storage for one reason or another. Something's been disrupted. So he gets to see how can he pray for people more effectively. And we sort of, you know, it's great to be able to see those real examples. You know, we've met in different kinds of businesses, different kinds of organisations. We met over at Computers for Africa one month. We met over at the Computer Skills Centre, run out of the Beacon. To be able to connect up Christians in business, in workplace kind of roles, with their church leadership as well, and so let's stand in faith together, and let's trust God for what He's doing through you in this kind of role. Now, along the way, we also discovered, of course, that it's not just about business; it's actually about the whole of the workplace. And one of the things God was showing us was that if somebody is walking in a position of authority in the natural realm, then that, in a sense, is a place where they can pray effectively in that kind of space. Tony is a doctor, so you know he's working in healthcare, he's touching people's lives in that kind of context. He's working with families and individuals. There's a space there in the world, in the way that healthcare is delivered in Maidstone, if you like, where Tony can pray with authority into that space because he carries authority in the natural realm in that kind of space. And I found that as God opened doors for me in the natural realm as well, as I became chairman of the Chamber of Commerce, Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce, which covers most of Kent, and I'm still on their board, you know, that as I carry a role in the natural realm of influence in local business, if you like, that's an area that I can pray into really effectively in the spiritual realm too. You know, for Stephen, who's a teacher, you know, again, you know, there's the opportunity for him to, you know, touch the world of education or to touch his school or his classroom or the places where he's working, the lives of the individuals in that kind of context with the kingdom of God. Not just to go to work and then come back and be, you know, a Christian in a different kind of context. So what happened was we actually set up another group called Marketplace Ministers. Thank you. that was a going beyond business to actually say, actually, let's connect together people across different sectors, not just business, but education, government, healthcare, right the way across, any kind of area actually where people are in the workplace. This is where the church can be effective. Now, what we've seen is quite a number of things. Over the course of 2012, we brought this Marketplace Ministers group together. It was a monthly evening meeting. And again, I think, overall, I suppose between the two things, Business for Christ and Marketplace Ministers, we have, kind of worked with, equipped, walked in faith with guys from probably about 10 different local congregations, church congregations. And quite a number of you will know that I've been sort of reaching out to connect up and to try and join the dots with local church leadership as well, and kind of see that, this is how it's kind of connecting together. I had a vision at the start of 2012 that through this Marketplace Ministers group, we would have testimonies in Maidstone of what God is doing through the church in the marketplace. I've also walked for quite a number of years with Ed Silvoso, who runs Harvest Evangelism and has written quite a lot about the role of the church in the marketplace. And through the kind of family at Harvest Evangelism, there are testimonies coming from all over the world of people who, are discipling, heads of states or who are, touching, in a major way, a global systems with the kingdom of God. And I thought, this is great, and this is encouraging, and we can share these testimonies, but actually, why shouldn't Maidstone be a place where these testimonies are developed? Why shouldn't we see that in Maidstone there are stories coming out of what God is doing through the church at work, day to day? And that was really my heart at the beginning of the year, and I think as we've seen over the course of this year, and the other key thing I think that was on my heart as we were getting together and we were also praying was to see a growing unity in the church. Amazing. I know that's on you guys' hearts as well, which is not only why you're here this morning, but I know many of you kind of share with me individually that's really something that's on your heart. And I see that it's something God is doing in this season as well. One of the things that we saw, most of you will know about the recent case with the local public hearings for strip clubs, the two strip club license applications that happened in Maidstone, and how they provided, actually, I really felt like it was one in the eye for the enemy, because they provided such an opportunity for the church to stand in faith together. Those of you who were getting my emails, I just really felt challenged by God in October, beginning of October, to really mobilize some of the guys that were on my email list for Business for Christ and Marketplace Ministers and so on, and some of you will have been getting those emails, to mobilize people to pray and to say, let's actually deal with this in the spiritual realm first of all. Let's take a stand as the church in the spiritual realm over this, and actually then when we walk it out in the physical realm as well. I mean, I represented in the second hearing as a director of the Chamber of Commerce. God opened the door for me to be able to do that, and there were others representing as well in the natural realm at the public hearings. But we do that having covered it in the spiritual realm, first of all, with guys who are walking in authority in the marketplace, actually walking it out, prayer walking, praying into it, standing in faith together. And what happened was, when I first sent out an email, immediately people from 7 different local congregations came back and said, yeah, we want to pray about this. And then that grew, and there are many more involved in praying over Maidstone for that particular season. And what we saw was, ultimately, the kingdom of God established. As you probably know, with the first public hearing, the venue in Bank Street was declined. At permission to run a strip club, it was declined based on its location. And it was almost like going the extra mile. It's not just that it got turned down and is now an empty building, but actually the guy's got a vision to do something good with it. And I felt, instead of being a venue where actually, the fruit of a strip club would be potentially, marriages breaking down, what you're actually getting is a venue where we're celebrating weddings, and we know Jesus loves weddings, and I thought that was just such a good little, kingdom step in that sense. And the second venue also then being turned down, and the council deciding that there's this whole area around the high street where they don't want to see any strip clubs, inappropriate location for it. Not only that, but what then happened was the local press picked up on it, and you'll have seen some coverage in the Kent Messenger, and then the Daily Mail also picked up on it, and they put a story in the newspaper and also on their website, Daily Mail Online. Daily Mail Online, I since discovered, is the the world's largest circulation online newspaper. 97 million people read it every month. So this story reached globally that Maidstone had said, no, we don't want strip clubs here. But what they'd actually told the story of was that the applicant for the first club was actually a magistrate. And that's what made it newsworthy for them. It was like, well, a magistrate was applying, and it turns out this magistrate owns a string of sex clubs across the country, or others anyway, I don't know how many. What then happened was that the TV quiz show, Have I Got News For You, which is on a Friday night, because it was in the national press, they also picked up, and it became one of their little jokey stories that this magistrate was trying to open a strip club. And of course, the contestants on there kind of also thought it was a bit off, really, that a magistrate was trying to open a strip club. His bosses then heard about it, and as a result, he had to step down as a magistrate. He had to take a view: am I going to run strip clubs or be a magistrate? And he ended up having to step down. And that was also covered in the papers that the magistrate had stepped down. To me, that is the kingdom of God touching. To me, that is a little tiny glimpse of discipling a nation, because systems start to get touched because of what the church has done. That is ultimately what happened. Because of what the church has done in Maidstone, I think, you know, other people around the country and the world, through seeing that story, will have been given a little glimmer of hope as well. That, oh, okay, there's something. And the story doesn't say the church got together and prayed, but we see the fruit of it. And we see that fruit being told at a national level and then having an impact, I think, you know, at that level. And it sets a precedent. Okay, it's basically accepted that it's not appropriate for a magistrate to run a strip club. So that tells us something about future applications. And incidentally, that the only existing strip club in Maidstone has to renew its licence by the end of April. So I will be mobilising further that we kind of pray into that. And actually cover it in the spiritual realm before they even apply for the license, because they have to reapply, and they can apply at any time between now and then, and they have to publish it on site for 3 weeks, and they only have to publish it in the newspaper for one edition of the Kent Messenger, and if we miss it, then the window for objections to go in is over. But that's a separate thing. We'll pick up on that. But I think that, you know, what I see is the opportunity for the church, and particularly for Christians in the workplace, to be sensitive to. One of the things that I've been teaching this year in our groups is that how I see the thing fitting together is, you know, as the church, our marketplace people, those that are in healthcare, in education, in business, in government, really have their finger on the pulse of what's happening in Maidstone, in the region, in the nation. And most of my work through my business is now further afield. I don't really do any work locally, except that I work from home a lot, so in that sense I do. But we get our finger on the pulse of what's really going on. We have relationships with local leaders. We have relationships with local government leaders and so on, local business leaders. And we get a sense of, you know, I spent a number of years on a group called the Maidstone Economic Development Group, and I spent a certain amount of time on a thing called the Maidstone Local Strategic Partnership, which is a multiple stakeholder group run by the council. Some of you will probably have been on it as well. Through that, you get a sense of, I mean, when I was on the local strategic partnership, we were talking about, you know, the needs in some of the council estates in Maidstone, you know, the challenge of the teenage pregnancies, you know, they were talking about issues that the church could has such opportunities to play a role in practically, but also to pray into. So the way I see it is insights from the marketplace, from the workplace, come into the church by its people being at work day to day in the marketplace. When our people in the marketplace see that, they don't just see the need and think, oh yeah, there's a need. I'm now going to go to a church meeting. They connect the thing up and think, hang on a minute, we can do something here. We can pray effectively. Let's share it with the other Christians. Let's look at how we can solve it. Let's bring it into our church congregation and make it something that we can get, if you like, missional about, we can take on and get involved in. Maybe practically and certainly spiritually as well. And then we see that those insights can come back, but we also see those guys that we've got on the flip side, when the church sees a need, we realise that we've got people working in the area, we've got people with authority in government, in the law courts, in education, whatever else. So they're carrying authority in the spiritual realm to pray into those areas, to walk as peacemakers in those areas as well, in the spiritual realm. So when we connect that all up, I think there's a huge power in it. And I think that's a little glimpse of what we saw with this kind of strip clubs. That for me was a real, I'd describe it as a... you know, as a businessman, I often encounter people who have great ideas and, you know, entrepreneurial ideas and this and that and whatever. And I don't often say it, but what I'm thinking is, show me the money. You know, I don't mean give me some money. I mean show me the fruits of it. What, you know, you can bring anyone come up with an idea. But some people are saying, I had this idea, and this is what happened, and here's the result, and the business has flown, blah, 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 whatever. And now you see, that's the show me the money moment. You know, the return on investment is there. You know, investors who invest into a business when it's just an idea, they're the brave ones. They're the ones who kind of are taking that risk, if you like, and that's why they're expecting, if you like, a good return when they take that risk. And I think for this concept of the power of the church in a marketplace, this strip club process was the show me the money moment. It was a, this isn't just theory now, we've seen the fruit of it. This is it, this is what it looks like. And we can believe for more, that we can touch the systems, we can touch the way Maidstone operates and beyond Maidstone and encourage the UK. And to me, that is a component of what it means to disciple nations. So, where's this going? Where am I going with this? I sense a real, you know, heart for unity. I sense a desire among church leaders to connect with their marketplace folk as well, support them, to see them effective. And what we've done, what we've been doing is we've been having these monthly Business for Christ meetings, and we've been having it in the mornings, and we've been having a monthly evening meeting called Marketplace Ministers, and some kind of connection between that. And people come together, you know, from different church congregations. And they're as one when they get together. You know, there's a sense that, yeah, you know, we're walking this out. But my heart has really been all the way through to equip and envision people so they can be effective in the context of their local church congregation. And that, as I've been seeking God about that and really wanting to see that fruitful, you know, over the years, we've sometimes encountered people. I remember in the early days of Business for Christ, it somehow used to happen more. I don't know why, but... Joe and I would meet people in business, Christians in business, who heard about Business of Christ, and they'd come and they'd say, "You know, we're Christians in business. We're not part of a church congregation. No, we left that years ago because they didn't understand us. And you know, but you know, we know that God's called us into business, and so we're just getting on with it." You know, that used to grieve us so much because we'd see that there's a disconnect, there's a disunity, there's all kinds of stuff that's coming out of that, and yet we didn't disagree that that person is probably called into business. It's just they hadn't been able to effectively walk it out in relationship with their local church congregation, their local church leadership. And that's fundamentally flawed because the whole thing has to come together. So the vision that I've got, which I really want to share with you and just lay down before you, and I really appreciate your feedback on, is to bring this together, both the business, the stuff we've been doing with the people in business and the wider marketplace thing, under a new heading, which we'll call Church at Work. The reason for that is actually I use the word marketplace quite a lot, as you've probably heard, and it can be a bit open to interpretation, really. People don't really know, what do you mean? What is the marketplace? I don't know, it's a sort of almost American kind of word or whatever, and, you know, is the marketplace that thing down by the Odeon, back behind the cinema? You know, is that where we have the market on a Saturday morning or whatever? You know, so I kind of think about the workplace as maybe an easier way to kind of think about it. And church at work is a kind of active thing. It's about saying, let's put the church to work. Let's get out there and you know, and be at work around it and so on. And the idea really is to have a kind of movement of church at work in Maidstone and the region, serving the church a channel for, if you like, coordinated town-wide blessing. Input to, you know, to things like planning and licensing and economic development and caring for the poor and blessing the leaders over the town. You know, my heart is very much the relationship I've got with Alison Broom, the chief executive of the borough council, Bill Moss, who runs town centre management, the heads of the Chamber of Commerce. Really, you know, I would love to go to them and say, and they know what I'm involved in terms of the church and Business for Christ, but to connect it up fully and just say, well, hang on a minute, you know, we've got guys from across the church that are praying already for Maidstone, so why don't we connect that with the needs you've got and we'll pray into those and to see the fruit of that, and to make it more direct. That's one of the things that's, I guess, kind of on my heart, really, is to connect that up from a testimony point of view with them. But that we can actually coordinate. You know, when we know that Maidstone's, you know, just launched a process to start seeking input on planning at the moment, you know, okay, we coordinate that and we're able to say, okay, let's pray for Maidstone over this season, that it, you know, when it plans, the kingdom of God, you know, let's pray your will be done, your kingdom come in Maidstone's planning. Building on those relationships that we've got, not just that I've got, but there's so many other marketplace people have got with their specific spheres of influence that God's already opened up for a strategic purpose, I believe. Coordinating in a town-wide prayer over the kind of workplace and the town sort of environment, but rooted in local church and connecting that together with the workplace. I believe that this is something that has to be done in partnership with church leaders. And it's got to be, workplace-based people working in fully in partnership with their church leaders. And that's why it starts with this meeting here, bringing church leaders together. I'll give you some ideas about how I see this kind of working, really. We've been doing at the moment a monthly meeting in the morning for people in business and a monthly meeting in the evening for wider, right the way across, and there's some overlap between the two of them. And we've met either here or we've met out in different places of work and so on. And I see really a 3-monthly cycle of meetings, if you like, for people in workplace, marketplace roles, education, government, lawyers, healthcare. One all together, we bring everybody together and we teach some principles. A following month, a local in-congregation group meeting of Church at Work. So let's say Church at Work Grace Church or Church at Work Lighthouse or whatever, where with local Church at Work leadership in that congregation, you're able to apply the teaching and so on into the context of that congregation. How does that work for our ethos? How does it work for our kind of people? And what has God given us in terms of marketplace people in this local church congregation, that we can, who can walk this out effectively? And then a third month, being a kind of active stroke missional activity, it might be a prayer walk sort of plan, it might be supporting one of the other ministries, it might be supporting how can the guys in the marketplace support street pastors, or how can the guys in the marketplace support Christians Against Poverty, Peter, for example. Or it might be an outreach breakfast where we invite people in from the local marketplace, all kinds of ways. It might be a connection with the prison, for example, or there may be other things where we can get the marketplace people involved. And the idea is then that each congregational group isn't burdened, if you like, with having to organise a monthly meeting, but one in three would be a local in-congregational group. And then also, over the course of the year, we would see sector-specific kind of workshops. So we might say, well, let's connect together all the people working in education across the town, all the Christians in education across the town, to strategize for the kingdom of God, touching the world of education and teaching and schools with the kingdom of God. It might be healthcare, and there's a number of people in all sorts of different places in healthcare. It might be entrepreneurs, bring them together for a day's workshop to think about, okay, how do we touch Maidstone? One of the things in Maidstone's town centre, it's all very well us saying, we've managed to prevent 2 strip clubs opening, that's great. But actually, the things that really concern the council are, we've got so many empty buildings. The economy in Maidstone's town centre is a nightmare. They're concerned about these things. If the church just gets a name for objecting to planning, that's not a very constructive thing. It's an important part that we see the kingdom of God established. But part of seeing kingdom of God established, I believe, is that the church's entrepreneurs and visionary people in the marketplace are coming up with ideas for how do we do things. Somebody called me up just this week, one of the guys in Business for Christ, and he said, I've got this vision to establish a media hub in one of the empty buildings in the town centre to see it regenerated. We want to see coffee bars and this and that and people coming together and we could use this building. And I was like, this is what we need to see. And he was saying, I've connected with local councillors and MPs and they're behind it and this, that and the other. And he's using those connections that God's given him in the marketplace to start building on this vision. And that, to me, is when we see that the church's guys in the marketplace have got such a heart for Maidstone, they want to see it develop and built up in a really positive way. We use those gifts that God's given us within the church to make a really positive impact. I think that will also give us a much greater clout when the church stands up and says, the church, which is known for planting new things that have positive economic impact in Maidstone, says, but we don't think this is a good idea. That's probably all we'll need to say at that point, because we have enough influence because the world around us sees. Paul, in Acts 19, when there was a riot going on in Corinth, and this was where he'd got involved in business. He'd set up with Aquila and Priscilla and done tent making, and which I think was not just him sewing tents. It was it was proper business, because he says later when he writes that he says that you didn't have to provide anything for me. I provided, he had enough coming out of that to provide for his whole ministry team financially. Okay, so I believe it was a significant initiative. And it says there was this riot going on, and then it says officials of the province, friends of Paul's, urged him not to go into the theatre. So it makes the connection. There were city leaders who were friends of his. Why? I believe because he had a role in the market. I believe that's because he had a role in the marketplace. And so there's that kind of connection, and that's what I really believe we can see here. A few other thoughts on that, and I'll want to throw it open for sort of feedback and so on. sector-specific groups, which kind of build that up. One thing's important, because one or two people ask me, you know, I'm based at Jubilee, and, you know, one or two people said, you know, is this what are you doing here, creating a kind of Jubilee initiative or whatever? What my heart really, totally, is not about saying we're going to create a Jubilee plant of Church at Work in different congregations. What we're saying is, we're throwing it out to church leaders to say, you know, how about setting up a Beacon Lewes Church at Work group there, not a Jubilee Church at Work group in Beacon Lewes, you know, a Lighthouse Church at Work group, which expresses the character and leadership of what's happening at Lighthouse. So local leadership of that from, you know, somebody in the congregation who's a marketplace-based, workplace-based Christian who says, yeah, actually, I can work in partnership with my church leader to set this group up. And so it's part of the whole of what's happening in Maidstone, but it's actually local church-based as well. And that leader from that congregation would have to be released by their church, their senior church pastor, their church leader, and so on. That's a really key thing for me, I think, for this new season of taking this forward, is about... In some cases, it may be about reconciling things. In some cases, it may be about visibly walking in unity. In some cases, it may already be flowing really naturally. You may be walking in partnership with your market-based people, while some of you are market-based people and church leaders, so you've got the connection already happening. It's really important, I think, that operates in that kind of way, where you kind of say, yeah, actually, I see there's someone in the marketplace in my congregation who could kind of walk this out effectively, or, you know, they've got a heart for this, and you know, I'd like to release them into this. And what I would then look to do would be if we were to say, well, there are two or three congregations who want to kick this off and set up a group in their local congregation, I would look to pull together the allocated leader from each of those congregations, the marketplace-based leader of that group, maybe do a kind of, it might be an away weekend or kind of training initiative in at the beginning of the year, to kind of equip and to get, you know, to kind of work that through. But very much doing it in partnership with church leadership. You may have sensed so far with what we've done with Business of Christ, although I've tried to reach out and connect with some of you, you know, over the course of the years. Sometimes there may well be a long time between times when we speak and so on, but actually I want this to be very much done in partnership with church leadership. So you know that, you know, you can call me up, email me, you know, get in touch anytime if you've got good testimonies coming out of it, or if you've got concerns, or if you've got questions about, hang on, this guy came out with this idea that whatever, can we just chat about it? Because it's really, really important that, you know, we get to apply it into the context of the leadership you're already bringing in your church congregations. And I believe that this is going to be one of the keys to us truly seeing breakthrough in this area of the church at work in the marketplace, is when we can really walk this out in partnership across the church in Maidstone, and also in partnership between church leaders and marketplace leaders in your congregations. That's what I then see, is that the church at work leadership for Maidstone, if you like, is actually made up of the leaders of church at work in the local congregations getting together as a Maidstone-wide kind of initiative, or Maidstone-wide or kind of regional initiative. I'm hoping that, yeah, some of you will kind of say, yeah, actually, I'd like to know more. I'd like to get involved. It's something that I'd like to look at setting up in our congregation. If you're keen, then I will do everything to support you to get this off the ground and help make it happen. My vision ultimately is that, you know, every congregation in Maidstone would have a church at work, you know, representation, a kind of group there that is connecting up with their people in the workplace, being part of the whole and being part of the local congregational expression of that and so on. So that, you know, when I look at the whole body of Christ in Maidstone, and I see, you know, the different roles the different congregations have got, some in terms of the area of Maidstone where they're based, some in terms of the function God has given them or the gifting God has given them, you know, this is such an opportunity to see the expression of the whole body. Do you know, years ago when I was on the local strategic partnership, I was representing the Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business, into the LSP. So you have at the LSP, you have the head of the fire service, you have someone representing healthcare, you have someone representing the police, education, all the different local stakeholder groups that the council needs input from while it's making policy and so on. And so I was representing the voice of the business community. And this was years ago. And they said around the table, and there were about 30 people around the table, and they said, okay, can we just check, is there any stakeholder groups that we don't have visual representation from? And somebody said, faith groups, we should have faith groups represented. So I went to the chair of the, or the guy organising the LSP meeting at the end of the meeting, and I said, look, in terms of faith groups, I'm happy to connect you up with, you know, some of the Christians in Maidstone who could represent, you know, maybe one of the church leaders or whatever who could be represent. And he said to me, the thing is, you're from Jubilee, and if I get, you know, if I open the doors to Jubilee, you know, I don't know, what are the Beacon going to think? And what are St. Luke's going to think? And what are these guys going to think? And whatever, and he, you know. And I said, no, I'm talking about the church in Maidstone. You know, I was trying to explain to him a concept that I saw, the church in Maidstone, you know. And I thought, and he was just like, what? What do you mean? No, there's all these different groups, you know. So I don't, he said, but realistically, I don't see how it's ever going to kind of work, you know. And I thought, actually, I had to take a good hard look at ourselves, you know, as the church, really, and say, actually, to be fair, it's kind of not that surprising that, you know, in reality, we know that if one church congregational leader was on the LSP, you're not going to have the others going, where's my place? And that's never going to happen. But actually, I understand why, you know, his perception was, no, we've got all these different groups. But actually, there are opportunities opening up for us to represent, you know, the church in Maidstone to the local leadership. They see that, yeah, there are all these congregations, but, you know, just as we know, it's one body with all these different parts, for the world to see that too, you know. Because Jesus' prayer that, you know, in John 17, when he prayed that, you know, that those who follow will be one as you and I are one, Father, so that the world will know you sent me. You know, he makes a direct connection between the church walking in unity and the world sees that God sent him. And that to me is, you know, is a key. And I know it's the cry of the hearts in the room here too, because I know we've connected on this and talked about it. So I'm going to stop in a minute because we've got some nice food here and so on. And I also want to just open it up for, allow questions and response and thoughts now around the room. But also speak to me one-to-one while we eat. And follow up with me afterwards too, if you'd like to get involved. In fact, I'd love to have, you know, a response from each of you anyway. Just let me know, email me or speak to me here or call me or whatever. And just say either, yes, I'd love to run with this, or not now, later, or I'll just watch what happens and see, you know, whatever the response is, let me know. Or if you think you are on another planet, I don't know what you're talking about, tell me that too, because I really, you know, it's important to be able to just talk these things through, and I value so much the, you know, the work that all of you guys do in Maidstone and everything that's gone before. And I'm very, very conscious that, you know, I'm walking in a season now where I believe, you know, God has put some things in my heart, like, for example, let's take praying for Maidstone. And there have been generations and generations of people praying for Maidstone before me. And even while over the past 20 years, while I've been in Maidstone, just being here, there have been people connecting together across the church and praying, you know, persistently, faithfully, consistently. And I've not necessarily always been part of those kind of meetings. So, you know, as I've been emailing people out recently, one or two have come back to me and gone, hey, you know this thing about praying for Maidstone, isn't that new, you know? And I'm like, no, I know it's not. It's just what I feel on my heart at the moment, you know? And the same, when I think about church unity, this idea isn't new. I totally get this idea isn't new. I realise that even now, if you know, I'm walking in the blessing of work you guys have been doing, you know, Jonathan, you know, year after year to invest in unity in the church. So I'm very conscious of that. I know there's nothing here that's that new, really, but it just feels like there's something there that I can maybe contribute to bringing it together from a marketplace context. Mm-hmm. Please do let me have your feedback.